The Jerusalem Council decide to make it as simple as possible for the Gentile Christians, not requiring them to first become Jews, not requiring circumcision, but upholding the moral framework of Moses' law, which they had already been taught. As Paul would later write to the church in Ephesus, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast."
This is Mission 66. I'm Rob Dempsey. Mission 66 originates from the ministry of Bible teacher and pastor Dr. Luis Seau and is produced and heard in multiple languages around the world in partnership with Transworld Radio. I want to encourage you to take advantage of a valuable resource. You can enhance your understanding of the Gospels by downloading our free study guide. This guide will deepen your experience with God's Word and complement our daily teachings from John Matthews and Esther Sisulu. To access your free study guide of the Gospels, simply visit mission66.org. Pick up this valuable resource and also support the ministry of Mission 66. Your gift helps sustain this program locally and globally. John Matthews is our teacher. His co-host, Esther Sisulu, gets us started today.
Well, today we'll continue on a journey in which we all learn together. And I'm so glad to be with you. I'm Esther, and I'm hosting today's program, and we'll be exploring Acts chapter 14 and 15. We're going to see the controversies that the early church were faced with back in old Jerusalem. So what do we do when honest people disagree? We talk it through. That's what we do. Well, let's listen in as our teacher, John Matthews, introduces us to the council at Jerusalem.
Esther, thank you so much. Good to be with you as always, and good to be with every one of you listening to Mission 66 today. Very warm welcome then to the latest episode in our study of the book of Acts, where we're reading about the growth of the early church, empowered by the Holy Spirit, after the death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus back to heaven, which you can listen to in previous episodes. And this book, Acts, is written by the historian Luke. And so we get to chapter 14, and we're halfway through the Apostle Paul's first missionary journey. Paul has travelled to Pisidian Antioch and now continues on, accompanied only by his friend Barnabas. So let's read from verse 1. "Now at Iconium, they entered together into the Jewish synagogue and spoke in such a way that a great number of both Jews and Greeks believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers. So they remained for a long time, speaking boldly for the Lord, who bore witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the people of the city, well, they were divided. Some sided with the Jews, some with the apostles. And when an attempt was made by both Gentiles and Jews with their rulers to mistreat them and to stone them, they learnt of it and so fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and to the surrounding country, and there they continued to preach the gospel." So as we've seen, wherever the gospel is being preached, we're seeing that people either believe it or are vehemently opposing it. There's not much ground, it seems, for much going on in the middle. It's one or the other. "Now at Lystra, there was a man sitting who could not use his feet. He was crippled from birth. He'd never walked. He listened to Paul speaking, and Paul, looking intently at him and seeing that he had faith to be made well, said in a loud voice, 'Stand upright on your feet.' And he sprang up and began walking. And when the crowds saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in Lycaonian, 'The gods have come down to us in the likeness of men.' Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. And the priest of Zeus, whose temple was at the entrance to the city, brought oxen and garlands to the gates and wanted to offer sacrifice with the crowds. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of it, they tore their garments and rushed out into the crowd, crying out, "Men, why are you doing these things? We also are men of like nature with you, and we bring you good news that you should turn from these vain things to a living God, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. In past generations, he allowed all the nations to walk in their own ways, yet he did not leave himself without witness, for he did good by giving you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness." Even with these words, they scarcely restrained the people from offering sacrifices to them. But Jews, and when it says Jews here, it means the religious elite of Israel who didn't accept Jesus as Messiah, though such as the scribes and the Pharisees, these Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having persuaded the crowds, they stoned now Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing that he was dead. But when the disciples gathered about him, Paul rose up and entered the city. And on the next day, he went on with Barnabas to Derbe. You know, Luke doesn't go into any detail about the injuries that Paul must have suffered after being stoned almost to death. But, you know, we can assume that he was badly hurt. Yet even in the midst of this pain, he goes right on ahead doing what he was called to do. Verse 21, when they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith and saying that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. And when they had appointed elders for them in every church with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. And then they passed through Pisidia and came to Pamphylia. And when they had spoken the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. And from there they sailed home to Antioch, Syria, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work that they had fulfilled. And when they arrived and gathered the church together, they declared all that God had done with them and how he'd opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. And they remained no little time with the disciples. And so you see, they're able to bring this very encouraging report on what God was doing, not only in saving many souls who believed in Jesus, but also how he'd saved Paul's life after he had been stoned and left for dead. And so we arrive at chapter 15 and we see how the early church is now handling questions and controversies that sometimes arise between good-hearted believers who see things differently. And what a good lesson here for us, because none of us has everything exactly right all the time. And in the multitude of counselors, there is often consensus and wisdom. And so to chapter 15. But some men came down from Judea and were teaching the brothers that unless you're circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. And after Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and debate with them, Paul and Barnabas and some of the others were appointed to go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and the elders about this question. So being sent on their way by the church, they passed through both Phoenicia and Samaria, describing in detail the conversion of the Gentiles, and brought great joy to all the brothers. And when they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they declared all that God had done with them. But some believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees rose up and said, "It is necessary to circumcise them and to order them to keep the law of Moses." You see, there were Pharisees who had accepted Christ, but still were holding on to the belief that circumcision was necessary for Gentiles and that they should become Jews first, and after that, they would then be able to be accepted into the Christian faith. But verse 6 says, the apostles and the elders were gathered together to consider this matter. This was the council at Jerusalem, an actual historical event which took place in the year 49. And it was a landmark council in the history of the early church, and we'll see why shortly. After there had been much debate, Peter stood up and said to them, "Brothers, you know that in the early days God made a choice among you that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, who knows the heart, bore witness to them by giving them the Holy Spirit just as he did to us. And he made no distinction between us and them, having cleansed their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why are you putting God to the test by placing a yoke on the neck of the disciples that neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear? But we believe that we will be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus, just as they will." And all the assembly fell silent. And they listened to Barnabas and Paul as they related what signs and wonders that God had done through them among the Gentiles. And after they finished speaking, well, James replied, "Brothers, listen to me. Simeon, that is Peter, has related how God first visited the Gentiles to take from them a people for his name. And with this, the words of the prophets agree, just as it is written, 'After this, I will return, and I will rebuild the tent of David that has fallen. I will rebuild its ruins, and I will restore it, that the remnant of mankind may seek the Lord, and all the Gentiles who are called by my name,' says the Lord, 'who makes these things known from of old. Therefore, my judgment is that we should not trouble those of the Gentiles who turn to God, but should write to them to abstain from the things polluted by idols, and from sexual immorality, and from what has been strangled, and from blood. For from ancient generations Moses has had in every city those who proclaim him, for he is read every Sabbath in the synagogues.' By this he meant that these Gentile people knew the moral law of God, same as the Jews." Goes on in verse 22. "Then it seemed good to the apostles and the elders with the whole church to choose men from among them and send them to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. And they sent Judas called Barsabbas and Silas, leading men among the brothers, with the following letter: 'The brothers, both the apostles and the elders, to the brothers who are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia, greetings. Since we have heard that some persons have gone out from us and troubled you with words unsettling your minds, although we gave them no instructions, it has seemed good to us, having come to one accord, to choose men and send them to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have therefore sent Judas and Silas, who themselves will tell you the same things by word of mouth. For it has seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay on you no greater burden than these requirements: that you abstain from what has been sacrificed to idols, and from blood, and from what has been strangled, and from sexual immorality. If you keep yourselves from these, you will do well. Farewell.'" Verse 30 goes on to say, "So when they were sent off, they went down to Antioch, and having gathered the congregation together, they delivered this letter. And when they had read it, they rejoiced because of its encouragement. And Judas and Silas, who were themselves prophets, encouraged and strengthened the brothers with many words. And after they had spent some time, they were sent off in peace by the brothers to those who had sent them. But Paul and Barnabas, they remained in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. And after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, 'Let us return and visit the brothers in every city where we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are.' Now, Barnabas wanted to take with them John, called Mark. Paul, though, thought it best not to take with them one who had withdrawn from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them on that occasion to the work. And there arose a sharp disagreement, so they separated from each other. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and departed, having been commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. So interesting, there was this disagreement that separated even good friends like Paul and Barnabas. And you know, that sometimes happens when good people have opposing opinions. But on goes the work. The fundamental work continues. The secondary issue is laid to rest, and on goes the work.
This is Mission 66, and we're here with our Bible teacher, John Matthews, who'll further unpack our study of Acts chapter 14 and 15. Now, John, back at Lystra, it seems like the apostles really stirred things up, didn't they, with the healing of the man who was lame. Wow, I mean, the people practically had a parade for these apostles. They were naming them after their Greek gods.
Yeah, you're right. They were blown away, weren't they? And if we study what was believed about those Greek gods, Esther, they were all given these human qualities. So they look like human beings, they get into fights and they act like human beings. When the people, though, saw these apostles manifesting these incredible powers, they mistakenly conclude that they must be gods who had come down to earth. And Paul had to say to them, no, we're just men. You're not supposed to bow down to us. And what is amazing to me is that it seems that either the mobs want to make the preachers into gods, or quickly they go to the other extreme. They call them the devil and they're trying to kill them. And this is exactly what happens to Paul here, because the crowd is so fickle that they quickly go from calling him a god to stoning him, you know, and trying to kill him. And they leave him for dead. Some have suggested that this was when Paul had his near-death experience, but Acts doesn't specifically say that.
Well, those were some big extremes, I would say. Well, you know, now that we're talking about the Council of Jerusalem, apparently this wasn't just a small gathering. Let's get into what this was about.
Yeah, absolutely. This was an historic gathering because the church was expanding out of Judaism. And when the first Gentiles began to accept the message of Jesus, and when the Holy Spirit was given to them, this power had come upon them. And then you have Paul, a former member of the Sanhedrin, now being sent out as a Christian apostle to the Gentile world. And the numbers of believers were multiplying everywhere. Well, this was so unsettling to the Jewish believers because they'd never seen anything like this before. They thought that for someone to become a Christian, they first had to be a Jew and receive that particular little operation known as circumcision. In other words, would Judaism stand in the way of someone being accepted as a Christian? Well, the Jerusalem Council, they decide to make it as simple as they possibly can at this stage for the Gentile Christians, not requiring them to first become Jews, not requiring circumcision, but upholding the moral framework of Moses' law, which they'd already been taught. And as Paul would later write to the church in Ephesus, for by grace you have been saved through faith. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So, this meant refraining from things like idolatry, sexual immorality, the drinking of blood, which is one of the marks of devil worship, and sins like murder, theft, covetousness, dishonouring parents. They didn't need to be mentioned in this aspect right now in this decree, because those things were not in question. It was assumed that the believers would keep away from those things as well.
Interesting. So the decisions that were made at the Jerusalem Council, are they applicable to us today? So for instance, am I allowed to eat, say, a rare steak?
Ah, well, this certainly has been asked, Esther. But, you know, we have to put this whole thing into the context of the age in which it was being spoken. So the statement that came from the Jerusalem Council means nothing to me today because, you know, we don't drink blood, not from a cup anyway. So look, you know, you can have your rare steak, Esther. And whilst it might not mean that much to us today, it was a real issue to these people back in their situation. You know, as for something like sexual immorality, not only regular sin like adultery and fornication, but it's very probable that they were referring here to Leviticus chapter 18, where it was forbidden to marry a close relative. Now, for the Greeks, the Romans, and much of the Gentile world of the time, that was allowed. And so it came down to this. The council statement was a compromise, if you like, between what the Jews considered important to uphold and what the Gentile believers were willing to abide by. Moses' law, well, that was well known to all the believers of the time, Jews and Gentiles. And the main teaching point here was the prohibition against idolatry. You know, idol worship is demonically inspired, and most immorality stems from idol worship. So both sides of the question believed that everybody ought to stay away from anything associated with idolatry, and that included the eating of meat sacrificed to an idol or which had been strangled, and the ceremonial drinking of blood. Well, immorality, that's something that's considered wrong in most societies, so that was easy to forbid. But what the Jerusalem Council had to conclude was that Jesus is the one who saves. Not circumcision, not regulations. Nothing is more important than knowing Jesus as Saviour and having His Spirit rule and guide and change our lives. And if we have the Spirit of Jesus, He will form in us the right character traits. It won't be an issue of us trying our very best. It'll be Him forming the new character in us. And then we'll not go far astray if we're right with Him. Isn't that the key, Esther? If we're right with Him and looking into His eyes and surrendering our lives to Him, He leads us into all righteousness. So, you know, it would be unthinkable for anyone calling himself a Christian to throw a roadblock in the path of any honest, God-seeking Gentile trying to get to Christ.
Well, thank you so much for that, John. Very informative as always. So how would we wrap up these two chapters which we've just looked at?
Well, in Acts chapter 14 and 15, we see the expansion of the church out of Judaism, especially due to the work of the Apostle Paul and Barnabas into Asia Minor, with incredible results and many people being added to the faith as the gospel of Jesus is proclaimed outward from Jerusalem into the surrounding areas, notably Antioch in Syria. And yet there were growing pains for the church, because after Jesus had died on the cross for sinners and rose again, everything that the Jews had been taught about their relationship with the Gentiles changed. Many Gentiles were gladly receiving this gospel, and sincere questions then arose, such as, is it necessary for a Gentile to become a Jew first before he becomes a Christian? And the questions were resolved amicably at the meeting known as the Council at Jerusalem. And so we learn from this that whenever questions about church issues arise, there is value in discussion, in hearing all views and maintaining unity in arriving at solutions. Also, identifying what are foundational truths. Really important. You know, there was a sharp disagreement there between Paul and Barnabas. Did it divide the church? Did it split the church? Well, they went their own ways for a time, but no, it didn't. And so should we follow that example. Together on foundational truths, but not split by issues that simply aren't foundational.
And it is on that note that John Matthews and myself, Esther, say goodbye, but only for now. We'll be back with more exciting adventures as we continue on our road in the Book of Acts. Well, we hope to have you with us next time, dear friend, right here on Mission 66.
That wraps up today's episode of Mission 66 with John Matthews and Esther Sisulu. Follow their daily teaching by downloading your free study guide at mission66.org. Go deeper into God's Word and discover how each day's teaching can apply to your life. James chapter 1, verse 22 tells us to be doers of the Word, not just hearers. Download your free study guide at mission66.org and have it for our next program. That's also where you can leave a comment or make a donation to continue Mission 66 here and around the world. That's mission66.org. Mission 66 is a ministry of Transworld Radio in partnership with Dr. Luis Seau. I'm Rob Dempsey.